Welcome back to another episode of Making a Martini. I am your host, Caleb Figgles. This is officially season four. I still have no idea what order these episodes are coming out in, so this very well might be the first one I didn't plan ahead. All right, and this is something that you should all know about me by now, so just fucking deal with it. But today, I'm very excited. We're having a first-time podcast guest, Rob Jessup. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. It's not often that I do episodes this early, so having a cocktail at 12 is quite nice, actually. It's a way to really cap off the morning.
It's Friday, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like London, I think. And they drink at 12 anyway, so whatever.
Do the whole thing with an accent, then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're on location. It's really, you know, getting into the kinky boots mindset, you know?
That's
really,
it, yep.
Yeah. What's immersive, but... Rob is here mostly to talk about Split Stage Productions, which is a theater group or theater company, I'm sorry, in Westmoreland County. Correct? Right? Okay.
Yep.
Just make sure I got that part right. Because the last time I talked about it, I said Pittsburgh and I was wrong. I think I said Allegheny.
In the greater
County.
Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
You're, you can go with
41,
that.
The 412 or 724. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the process of, you know, sort of starting a theater company, how you guys got into it, you know, what you've been up to since. And if for listeners who from last season remember, I did a show called Rock of Ages with Split Stage Productions. So that is how we are connected. Actually, no, we're connected. I did Sweeney Todd with Steven Santa however many years ago that was.
That's right. Yeah.
Pre-pandemic. So who knows what happened? Who knows what we did? I think.
17.
Everything. It would have had to have been because I lived with Hank at the time. So it would have had to have been 2017.
19. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Man. They all blend together.
Everything.
I have no idea. It's actually pretty funny. It's one of the things too. Like whenever we're sitting around and someone asks myself or Nate a question about like, you know, you did that show. When was it? And we're always like, they're like, how many shows have you done? Where it was like, neither of us have any idea. After a show, we're kind of sitting at a bar, someone asks us, and then we start going through. Well, this was the first season. This was the second season. Then we get to the third season. We can't put what show we did when. We start scrambling. It's like, we've done a lot.
Yeah.
In a short period of time.
You guys have been around since 2013.
That's actually something I do know. So our first show was Rent, which was in It was in 2013. I think it was September. And that was like just an inaugural production. Mm-hmm. So then what we did was on the heels of that went really well. We then like said, in conversations, Nate and I were like, we should just come out with the season. We feel like more people will take us serious as a company if we're committing to a season. So then we came out with a full three show season, which began in 2014.
Nice.
So we're coming up on 10 years since we've done our first thing, but obviously with COVID and stuff like that, we haven't been doing stuff every year. So
right. We'll still count it as 10 years. We get a 10 year anniversary season
coming up.
Yeah. That's wow. I love that. And we're going to get into all of that. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a special news bulletin from Making a Martini. Welcome back to another Making a Martini special news bulletin. Here is what's making news. It was revealed today that both Alec Baldwin and Hannah Gutierrez-Reed will be charged with manslaughter after the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust being filmed back in October of 2021. Gutierrez-Reed was the film's armorer, so basically gun person. Back in 2021, Hutchins was shot and fatally wounded after a rehearsal scene was being done where Alec Baldwin had to handle a gun. There was a live round in the gun, and upon pulling the trigger, the gun went off. And look, there are so many things that have gone wrong with this terrible situation, and I could spend this whole news bulletin and honestly a whole episode talking about it, but all that really needs to be said is that, one, there should never be any need to ever, ever have live ammunition on set, on a stage. Nothing to do with the arts like that. You know, as someone who has not only taken stage combat but also firearm combat for the stage, I can tell you that prop guns and stage guns, while They have the same sound and visual effect of a real gun. They're infinitely safer. And even still, you need to go through extensive training to make sure that you're handling it correctly, which is supposedly something that didn't happen on the set of Rust. And from what I can tell, there's already a lot of finger pointing and blaming happening here, but at the end of the day, a giant fuck-up occurred that lost someone their life, and the people that are responsible need to be held accountable. It's as simple as that. Speaking of fuck-ups, Ron DeSantis is at it again, folks. The governor of the penis of America. That's Florida, by the way. Which is ironic considering that the governor of the penis-shaped state probably has the smallest one, is proposing to ban state universities from spending money on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in hopes that they will, quote, wither on the vine, end quote, without that funding. In fact, the governor's office called those programs discriminatory. I've read a few articles now, and the bullshit that flows out of that man's tiny pie hole is just so hard to follow. I truly think he has buzzword toilet paper, and after every massive dump, he vows to use all the words that he wipes with that day. What these programs that he wants to cut actually do are promote multiculturalism and encourage students of all races and backgrounds, sexualities, what have you, to feel comfortable in their own campus, especially if they are an underrepresented community on that campus. And this has led to protests and rallies from both students and faculty, because obviously without these programs, potential faculty members will, you know, their jobs will be at stake. And all of this on the cusp of rumors of a presidential run for DeSantis, which the only thing that I can say to that would be God help us all. Speaking of penises, back in May of 2022, a story came out about an upcoming documentary called The Man with a Penis on His Arm. And in case you're wondering, yes, it is exactly what you'd think. Malcolm MacDonald, a British man, lost his penis due to a blood infection, and doctors have been able to build a new artificial one, you guessed it, on his arm, and let it grow for 6 years just to like establish the blood supply and things like that. And after a 9-hour surgery, they were able to remove the dong from his arm and attach it to its rightful place. So, you know, just 6 short years of living with a penis on your arm. I'd love it. And I, for one, am ecstatic for him. What will they think of next? This has been a Making a Martini special news bulletin, and now back to our regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Welcome back from that special news bulletin. I hope you enjoyed it.
There. The scotch is getting to me.
I know. I've had a piece of toast today, so we're going to see. We'll see what happens by the end of this episode. But yes, as I said before the break, we are talking with co-founder of Split Stage Productions, Rob Jessup. And in that first part, we also mentioned Nate, who is the other co-founder, Nate Newell. Nathan.
So he's technically a Nathaniel.
That's okay. I don't know.
And his mom calls him that. No one calls him Nathan, I don't believe. I just call him Nate.
Yeah, I think I do too. I don't think I've ever called him anything besides that. I don't know why I felt the need to talk about that, but I did. It was an impulse and I went with it. But
there it is.
But anyway, so Rob, tell our listeners here, since I already know you, but tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you've sort of gotten involved in the theater world and all that fun stuff. While I drink my drink.
Sip away. So I grew up in the great state of New Jersey, spent a fair amount of time there, but got involved in theater as a little kid, just doing shows in elementary school and junior high, and really enjoyed it and learned more about it in high school. I had a fantastic director and was involved in a program that was very well known and very well established in New Jersey. It's funny, out here, the CLO does like the Gene Kelly Awards for like Allegheny County.
Yeah.
Well, when I was my junior year in high school, the state of New Jersey, Paper Mill Playhouse, which is like a big equity house just outside of the city, they decided to establish the Rising Star Awards, which was a brand new statewide, you know, high school theater, you know, competition awards system or whatever it was. And it's funny because my first 2 years in high school, my freshman year musical was Pippin. My sophomore year musical was Hair. So these are two shows that are not often done in high schools, right?
No.
So then my junior year, we do a production of Fiddler on the Roof. And this was the first year they came out with these awards. And we went in, and if there were 25 awards, we were nominated for 21 and we won like 16.
Yes.
Like it was crazy. And people who won some of these awards, and that's kind of what I'm getting as a part, the people that I went to school with years ahead and years below, you've got people on Broadway, people that are professional opera singers, you know, people that are just recording artists that are, you know, touring all over the world. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got the opportunity to perform with these people. Siri's
thanks, Siri.
thanks, bitch. So it was my exposure to being involved in theater was I was involved in really, really good theater.
Yeah.
And was like primarily in the ensemble or a little featured play or whatever. And I just got to watch all these people. And I think my appreciation for the art form really started to develop, you know, throughout that process. But also I lived like 25 minutes outside of Manhattan. So yeah. We used to do trips starting in junior high. Like there'd be like a chorus trip and then like a drama club trip. You'd go in and you'd see a show. So I got to see all of like the from what were the OG shows for me, like when Les Mis came out, when Phantom came out, when Secret Garden came out, Miss Saigon, all of these, we did a bus trip in and we would see the show.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, exposed to Broadway caliber and Broadway production levels, you know, at a young age. And then I'm involved in shows that are, you know, really good. And people are, there was one girl that, you know, she was literally doing a show at Paper Mill and then would come back to school.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're in high school. This is nuts.
Right.
So I really kind of developed that passion for theater then. Went to school up in New Hampshire, studied theater, came back to New Jersey and kind of did, you know, some summer stock gigs along the way. And, you know, was kind of doing the audition thing in New York and was just not prepared for it.
Yeah.
So as most actors do, I became a bartender and that kind of became, you know, a path and was doing that for a little while. And then just kind of got away from theater altogether. And ultimately, you know, life experiences happened. And next thing you know, I'm in Pittsburgh in 2007 and was here for a few years working and kind of found this theater community. And I lived right around the corner, you know, half a mile or so from Apple Hill Playhouse out in Delmont.
Yeah.
And was driving by it periodically. And one day went on their website and saw that they were doing season auditions. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go. I just showed up and it was funny. Yeah. I mean, community theater around here, you know, like everybody knows everybody, right? So
yes.
I walk in the door and everyone's like hugging the directors and all this stuff for these like readings. And I'm like, okay, I don't know anybody here. Nobody knows me. Let's just see what happens. But that's kind of a funny story that I went there. They were doing the complete works of Shakespeare abridged was on their season, which is hilarious.
Okay. Yeah.
I did a cut of it in high school. So that all the directors are having everybody read. And there's this guy in the back who's pacing back and forth, holding a baby, not saying anything or whatever. And we were all like, I had no idea who it was. So at the end of like all of these readings, this guy in the back is like, if you're reading for Shakespeare, you can stay. If not, you're free to go. And then he got up, gave everybody one side and said, read it and then leave for Shakespeare. So I did my reading and was one of the last people. And as I walked out of the building and down the steps and out, this guy jumped in front of me at the door and was like, hey, you want to be in my show? And it was the director of Shakespeare who turned out to be Nate Newell. So I was like, yeah, that's like why I'm here. We ended up both being cast in a show earlier in that season too. So we kind of got to know each other a little bit then.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're working on Shakespeare together. And I mean, and he and I just became fast friends. You know, and he had been out here for a while, had gone to Seton Hill and then was involved in the community theater world. And I didn't know any of it, but, you know, we kind of got involved and became friends. And then towards the end of that summer, I was just asking, just picking. I remember sitting on, he lived in Greensburg at the time, and we were sitting on his deck and he was grilling and we were just drinking some beers. And I was like, why don't people do like Rent and Avenue Q and all this kind of stuff? And he was like, well, they're scared of the content. They're scared they're not going to be able to cast it. They don't know how to put it up, or had all these different reasons because he'd been on boards for some of these companies out here.
Yeah.
And so he knew all the reasons. They wanted to do it, but they never did. And I was like, well, like, you know, people out here, you know, tech side of the theater. He's a performer as well. And I was like, look, I know the business side of things. I was running my own company at the time. And I was like, why don't we just start a company and do it. And he was like, like, seriously? And I was like, yeah, like, let's just do it. Let's just do it like now. And he was like, okay. So we just started kind of talking about it. We each put, you know, some money into a bank account and became an LLC, and we started it and we did a show. And then we were like, okay, well, let's do another one. Let's do another one. Let's do another one. And here we are. Throughout that process, we then became a nonprofit. We switched a whole bunch of stuff. We found out the mistakes that we made along the way, but you know, it's crazy. And so now, you know, Nate and I are obviously still great, great friends. But we work really well together too. And that's kind of, I think, a part of what keeps this company going. And gives it kind of the fun appeal that it has.
And one of the things that I had, I have to find it, because you actually in that answered my next three questions. So very nicely done.
It's been great spending time with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And everyone have a good day.
Right.
But and done. Chug your drink and we're good. But the mission statement on your website, the first line of it is bring a bold new performance perspective to Westmoreland County. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about Split Stage, which is really the only theater company that I've only done three shows in Pittsburgh. Two of them have been with Split Stage, but I've seen multiple Split Stage shows. And the thing that you said, it's like there's these shows that people are afraid to do. And I don't know what season of mine it was. It could have been three. It could have been two. I don't know. But I had Joe York on, and I don't know if you know Lisa Ann Goldsmith, but she was on.
I don't know her though. Yeah.
Yeah. They're two friends of mine. We met each other. We all met in college, actually.
And, well, I know Joey. Joey did.
Oh, yeah.
Joey came in and did Sideshow with us.
Yeah. And then
he did he was doing, I think, Ragtime. We were doing Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Like in the summer. And he wanted to do it, but he was doing, I think he was doing Ragtime out at Lincoln Park. And we had a midnight performance on Saturday night. And Hank was playing, he was doubling up. So he was playing Eddie and Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
And so they came to us and they were like, look, Joey can make the midnight performance. And Hank was like, I'll give up Eddie that night for him to come in and do it. And we were like, fuck yeah, let's make it happen. And he came screaming across Western Pennsylvania
to
pull into town and did that one night. And of course, the mic went out. So he's just screaming his face off.
Of course. Like,
everything went wrong, but it was awesome.
Like how Joey does.
So, yeah.
That was actually, I went to the earlier show that night, not knowing that was happening, found out, because that was also the night that Mandy went in for Columbia, wasn't it? Because the girl that was playing Columbia hurt her knee.
So during the earlier performance, she fell during the tap number. Yeah.
Yeah.
And tweaked her knee. Mandy ended up, we were like, okay, we need a size, whatever, pick a number. We need a size 9 tap shoe. Like, who's got one within, you know, 10 miles that you can get to her? Right. So someone went running out home, got them back for the midnight performance. So we're doing this put-in at like 11:15, 11:30 at night. Meanwhile, everyone's been at the bar next door having drinks. And I'm like, wait, what's happening? What's happening? Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a, Yep.
I know Joe. I know Joe as well.
But we did an episode on cult musicals, which that's not entirely what Split Stage does, but we talked about why people don't do them, and there's sort of that fear, but there's also that idea of we talked about like what still holds up, what should still hold up, what we talked about sort of, which I found really funny, but I agreed with it so wholeheartedly. And one of the things that I love about the shows that you guys pick is that, like I said, they're not culty musicals. There's some, you did Titanic, you know, however long ago. But you guys pick smart shows, and that's what I really, really like. Shows that you can go to and you can sit back and relax and not have to pay attention, or you can get 100% involved and be like, yeah, this is deep. I love this shit, which I really love.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Nate and I, again, have been talking, you know, a lot more about this exact type of thing lately, because as we typically announce our upcoming, our season, the way we look at it is June, October, and closes in February.
Mm-hmm.
So typically in February, we announce what we're doing the next season.
Right.
So some companies would already have this shit planned, but, you know, Nate and Rob, it's a week before the show. And we're like, so next year, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? But I mean, we did, in our defense, start talking about this like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this happens every time. And our production meetings typically end up at like a bar. or a restaurant, you know, and we're sitting there and we're having a beer and I'm scrolling through my iPad. I go to MTI's website. I go to all the different licensing companies' website. We scroll and we scroll and we scroll and we're like, no, 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 no. And admittedly, I'm the one who's more particular. Mm-hmm. But we have a really great way of talking it out. When I'll throw a show out there that I'm like, I don't really like this, but talk me into it or talk me out of it. I'll give you the chance, you know. And this is one of the most last times we flipped it. He did the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
So we're particular about what we do. But again, the start of this company was all about producing what people aren't producing in this more immediate area. I don't want to say all of Pittsburgh, primarily Westmoreland County, right?
Right.
And we've noticed over the course of the past few years, and I don't think it's in response to us, but we see a lot of the companies around starting to do more of that, you know, edgier type of stuff. Now, everyone is evolving, and that's great, and they should.
Yeah, right.
Are we ahead of a curve or what? I don't really know. So now the question is, it's like, well, since everyone's kind of going in that direction, do you pivot and go back into the other direction?
Right.
Which is like a show like Titanic, right? It's like, okay, that's a cool show. It's some would deem a safe show. It's huge.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do a show like that, or like Sweeney Todd, for example, how do you do it in a way that is split stage? You know, Nate is a big, he says it all the time. He loves it. He's kind of, you know, turned into a thing. He's like, how do we split stage it? And I'm like, I know what you're saying, but it's like, okay, well, you know, we did it. Steven Santa's idea for Sweeney Todd was perfect. Cause that was a show that I don't like. And Nate for years was like, what about Sweeney Todd? I'm like, and then we had this conversation with Steven and I was like, that I'm on board with.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's unique.
Yeah.
So Titanic, it was like Titanic. It's a huge show. Yeah. Let's do it. And Brady was like, let's take all the seats out of the theater. And I was like, huh? And he was like, this is kind of what's going to work. And I was like, all right, I'm on board with that. That's cool. That's different. That makes an impact.
Yeah.
And I think it is as much of the Rock of Ages and the Kinky Boots that we do, the kind of shock and awe and the party type of things that we're doing are great. I think we're now also being remembered by audience members, especially out in this area, by some of those shows, Titanic and Sweeney Todd, things that we put a twist on.
Yeah,
they're like, wow, that's memorable. That kind of lingers in your head for a little while.
I remember Gabe was talking to me after one of the shows of Rock of Ages, that someone came up to him and complimented him on his performance in Titanic.
Definitely not.
So like they were like, yeah, no, of course. but yeah, so like Titanic is something that clearly resonated with the audience that Split Stage pulls in, which is awesome. And then we also have, you know,
and again, I think it brought in different people.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew what they were expecting. I think some of the audience members thought they were seeing the movie at the movie theater. And they're like, what the fuck? What's happening?
What is this? Where's Jack?
But yeah. You know, it was a great way. It was a great way to do it. But it was one of those ways of taking a more traditional show. I'm putting quotes. Mm-hmm. No one else can see that. But, you know, a traditional show. And making it like, oh, okay, wow, now it's more memorable that way.
Yeah.
And we did. We got a lot of positive feedback on it. And it's like, you know, we want to try and find ways to continue to do that without kind of being a one-trick pony. Like, okay, what's the next show we can do and take the seats out? Like, yeah, we did it. Can we do it again? Yeah, but like for the right reason.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a pain in the ass to take them all out and put them all back in. But
yeah.
It was worth it, you know.
Yeah,
sold out the second part of the run, added a performance like we've never done something like that before.
Yeah,
so
that's really awesome.
But a traditional show. So now again, we figure out what to pivot to. Are there shows like that? And so that's like the last conversations that we've been having about show selection. It's like, you know, the Music Man. Can we split stage it? And I'm like, no, please no. But you know, it's like, it's, do you go down a road and you pick like a Secret Garden and just do it to the point that people are like, ugh.
Right.
You do it the right way and literally nail every single detail. Which sometimes takes more work than doing some of these other bigger
shows. It does. I mean, yeah, I've seen shows that have like an incredibly huge like production, but like where sets fly in and things come off. And, you know, and you'll see it and you're like, well, that was fine.
Right.
Because like the show itself, and like if a show falls flat, it falls flat. But
Well, and like you say right there, the spaces that we perform in don't really give us the ability to do stuff like that. But so we have to then get creative, and we put it on ourselves and we put it on our directors as to how do you make an impact without that? So what limits us can almost put us out there. You know, and coming up with ideas. Like, again, let's find a way to do the show in the round or find ways to do things like that. Very minimalistically. I mean, we kind of joke, Nate and I, that like someone's going to call us out on our lack of sets at some point in time. Because we find ways to not really utilize sets, but to make it work. I mean, like if you think about the Rock of Ages set, it was a bar and a platform.
Yeah. That was it.
Like, that's it. You know what I mean? But if you can build the show around it and you can make it work, no one notices that.
Exactly.
And that's where kind of we have to give a lot of credit to the people who direct shows for us and come up with some of these concepts for us.
Right.
That make it really work.
Yeah. What, so you, like you said, you guys founded this back in 2013. I feel like since high school for me, like through college, through my adult life, just knowing theater people, being in Pittsburgh, I went to college in at IUP. So a lot of people just sort of migrated, you know, west.
Yeah.
And so many people have talked about like starting their own theater company, what they want to do, things like that. What advice would you give to people that have that sort of dream or mentality and want to get things moving?
I think, do it. You know what I mean? It's you find the people. You need some money, you know, and you just, what was important for us was identifying the fact that there was a void.
Yeah.
There was a niche market that wasn't being filled. And the concept of it really came from, so that Shakespeare show that Nate directed that I was in, you know, was hilarious. And he did such a good job directing it. The other two guys in the show, you know, everyone was working so hard. And it was really, really funny. But the thing is that, like, no one came to it. There'd be 20, 30 people in the audience every night, and that was it. Now, granted, those 20, 30 people left, they were like, this was absolutely amazing. And we're like, please tell people. And this is back in the day when Apple Hill used to run shows for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we were like, we're going to get an audience. We got a great review from, I forget who the guy was in the city. He used to write for the city paper, and he was always like, he thought he was Ben Brantley, and he would just rip everyone apart. But like, he gave us a good review, and it's like, guys, what we're doing is good. Come see it.
Right.
So the whole concept was like, we need to create a company that can build itself a reputation so we can produce shows like this and people are going to show up no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's still like, you read the mission statement on the website, which is great, you know, and that's lovely jargon for everyone to see. When you become a nonprofit, you have to have that.
Right.
The mission statement for Nate and I is we need to build our brand to the point that no matter what we produce, people will show up.
Yeah.
And like, we feel like we're finally starting to get there. We feel like Sweeney Todd, Titanic, Rock of Ages, I think the way this is trending, Kinky Boots, these are the shows now that people are like, okay, these guys are doing something.
Yeah.
And we know we're not going to now, like next season, be like, we're going to do, you know, three like horribly dark plays and see what happens. Like, we're not that dumb, you know, but we know what pays our bills.
Right.
But we want to get to the point where we do more of those cult musicals like you're talking about. So like, we're getting there, but that's like our mission statement. So we found a niche and we kind of created our, you know, our own path to get in. So you got to find something that you're passionate about. What does your company want to do? You just want to produce theater. That's fine. But, you know, I feel like, create something that people aren't doing. Find an avenue that people aren't doing, because people want it. And then you just, that's the hard thing, is like getting people there. Living in this city, people don't want to cross a river. They don't want to go through a tunnel, you know, and that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
And we saw, you know, audience development was something that was tricky for us for years. You know, and we love the partnership now that we have over at the Lamp Theater. You know, where not only do they have a big following themselves for what they do, which was perfect for Rock of Ages, right?
Yeah.
But they now, people who go there are also seeing our shows, and now we're creating our own following because of the shows that we're doing there. So we've kind of got this thing going. And it's funny, Bill Elder, who who obviously was in Rock of Ages.
Shout out to Billy.
Great friend of ours. Yeah. Was a great friend of ours, but he's the GM over there. I was talking to him the other day and he was like, someone literally bought tickets to Kinky Boots. They called and they asked me what it was about after they bought tickets. And I was like, well, and he asked him, he's like, didn't you read the synopsis? They were like, no, we just saw that Split Stage was doing it. And we saw the last few shows they did, but what's it about? I just don't understand. So they just bought tickets because it was us.
That's amazing.
And that is like, okay, great. Those four people, I appreciate you now for who you are.
Yeah.
We need everyone in this area to kind of get on board.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, the wish. So, I mean, if you want to open a theater company, do it. You know, you gotta find a space. You got to, you know, have supportive people. It's a lot of work. And that's the thing, too, is that Nate and I take almost all of it on ourselves. Mm-hmm. From a planning of the season, we're the ones building the sets. Now, granted, we have people who do help us. And obviously, we have directors, music directors, stuff like that. But, like, you know, we don't rely on a big board or any of that kind of stuff. It's like he and I kind of in the weeds all the time. But I think that that's what keeps it what it is.
Yeah.
Is that it's just he and I. We don't have outside influences or 17 people sitting in a room saying, well, I think this or I think that or whatever. Yeah. It's you just he and I. And
continuity,
if he and I don't agree, which doesn't happen very often at all, surprisingly. You know, we typically then throw it to Laura Wurzel. It's kind of like our de facto third wheel in this company.
Yeah.
You know, and get her opinion on it. Because obviously we trust, you know, every and anything that she does. But, you know, and there are times where, again, an example of Sweeney Todd, like Nate was like, we should do it. And I just didn't want to do it. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I got to get out of my own way and do what's best for the company. And I'm like, and then we had this amazing production.
Well, and you guys, I mean, you work really, really well together. I mean, you guys co-directed Rock of Ages on top of producing it, on top of running your company, just the full like enchilada and
all of the things.
And it worked. It worked so well. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you guys, there was never really any like that we saw anyway. I don't know if there was anything that ever happened behind the scenes, but just hearing what you've been saying, I doubt it. I really do.
We had done that once before when we did Cabaret, and
that's what I was going to ask you.
We had a director lined up, and that kind of fell through. And we were like, let's just, because again, that was a traditional show to a degree that we were like, we have to make it. We got to give it a little bit more edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to make it a little bit not necessarily dirtier, but we got to give it some more grit.
Yeah.
So we did it. Did it there. And you know what Nate is really good at is what I'm not admittedly good at. I'm not a concept guy. I don't think of, oh, this is what it all should look like, and this is the blocking, and this is the set. I'm the character guy. I'm the nuance guy. So you know what we did in Cabaret is exactly what we did in Rock of Ages. Nate pretty much came in and blocked the show. And then I came in and said, all right, now this is what we're going to do. And, you know, sometimes if something seemed, you know, like it didn't work because we were blocking things out of order or whatever, we just found ways to kind of tie it all together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that. And that's where we work well together in that kind of co-directing type of concept.
Yeah. So. And it did work. If I do say so myself.
Brilliant. In your onesie.
Yes. Well, I miss it. I miss it every day.
Oh, you didn't take that? We haven't been able to find it, so I was wondering.
Oh, really? I don't know. Sharon really loved it a lot, so I was like, maybe she did take it.
She's probably doing jazzercise right now.
I hope she is. Every day she would come back and she'd be like, hey, I put more glitter on it. And I was like, even better. I'm like, you can't go too far with that. I want glitter to fly off of it when I take the if you didn't see Rock of Ages,
you missed
fuck
out.
You. So
yeah, real.
But so speaking of shows that Split Stage has done and is doing, you have a pretty big one coming up, a very large, fun, amazing show, six-time Tony Award winning, and a bunch of other awards that I didn't want to write down because I didn't realize how much it actually won. But you're doing Kinky Boots in, well, this episode will be coming out on a Monday. You guys open on Friday.
So yeah, February 3, 4, and 9, 10, 11 is the run of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So I probably should have had that part prepared. But Kinky Boots, you know, based on the 2005 movie, which I honest to God thought this movie was like 1980. I've never seen the movie, but I just thought it.
If you had asked me, I would have thought the musical came out in 2005. That's also because I have no perception of time post-COVID. But like,
honestly,
never saw the movie. Never knew of the movie. Just was like, oh, a Broadway show, Kinky Boots, Billy Porter. Great, love it.
Yeah, that's all I knew. And then when I saw that that was the movie and it came out, and it's got Joel Edgerton and Nick Frost in it, I was like, what y'all doing? Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll watch it. We'll see if it's free somewhere. I don't know if I'd pay to watch the movie, but I'd much rather see the show.
And you can next weekend and the following weekend.
That's right.
Lamp Theater for tickets, lamptheater.org.
If you want to come the same night as your favorite podcast host, I will be there Friday the 10th. So you can say hi.
I'll be there too. You can meet me.
There we go. See? But yeah, Book by Harvey Fierstein. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, I'm sure it could, but who doesn't love Harvey Fierstein?
You gotta.
A good Harvey Fierstein book.
It's great. And score by Cyndi Lauper, which, I mean, there you go. What else do you need?
Right.
Nothing.
Can you imagine the two of them like in a room working that out?
Cyndi, now listen. Now, Harvey!
Okay. That was by Cyndi Lauper. It's not very good. No, that like creative room must have been just
a mess,
a hot, beautiful mess. Yeah.
I feel like a show comes out of that writing process. Like the observation Absolutely. Of that writing process could be its own thing.
Yeah. Well, and like, I know the name of the director. I just can't remember it.
For the show?
Yeah. Of Jerry Mitchell? Original, Jerry Mitchell. Yeah.
Like, did he direct? He's a big choreographer that's doing a lot more directing now. Did he do both?
Ooh, that's a good question. I know he's attached to it. Yeah, but I don't know. Sure. I'm sure he definitely did the choreography, but I think he also directed it. The three of them, like, not afraid to take a risk. They were like, you know what? Hey, we should have moving escalator thingies. And, like, they're like, yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if that came from, because Jerry Mitchell choreographed Hairspray, which Harvey was obviously in.
Right.
I wonder if that kind of birthed
this
other relationship.
They should do like a documentary about the making of Kinky Boots the musical. I'd watch that in a heartbeat. If it happens, you heard it here first, and I should get credit for it.
Call me.
I'm available.
I did go to a rehearsal the other day, so I feel like I know what's going.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, so next weekend, this weekend, Kinky Boots. Do you want to give a little rundown on your take on Kinky Boots?
The show itself?
Yeah, not necessarily split stages, but...
Yeah, I mean, so I had the opportunity to see it here. So when the national tour came to Pittsburgh, Billy Porter, obviously Pittsburgh native, was doing it on Broadway. And this to me, like from an actor's perspective too, because I have like a part of my brain is actor brain, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a guy who's playing this role on tour that all of a sudden gets a phone call. It's like, hey, by the way, you're like essentially being removed from your role for 2 weeks for Billy Porter, but you get to go to Broadway and do it instead. Like, like I'm being demoted, but I'm being promoted. Like, what a weird dynamic, right?
Yeah.
So the show came here, but Billy Porter came from Broadway to Pittsburgh to do the run of the show.
Wow.
So that was really cool to see like the Tony Award winner.
Yeah.
And the home guy, because I know that there was like a line in the show where he's like, yeah, I grew up just around the block, which he did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that it was like the Hill District or like Lawrenceville or, you know, one of those like neighborhoods, like right around the corner, Bloomfield, something like that. I forget. But, you know, and I remember when he said that line, like people went crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it was, I mean, it was really cool to see the show. It's a big spectacle of a Broadway show, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But really at its core, I mean, again, and I've said this before, is that people look at the show and they think drag queens and sequins and like, yeah, but at its core, the show has a message of acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a line in the show that's, you know, you change your world when you change your mind.
Right.
Wow. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, if you think about that and really apply it like to your own philosophy, your own daily principles or whatever, like that's amazing. That's all you have to do is think about something differently or think about it in a different way. And your entire day turns around.
Yeah.
So to send that message out is super cool, I think. You know, when we did choose the show, which like was almost I shouldn't say accidental. We had another show already selected. Nate and I went through the whole process of drinking all night at a bar, and we locked in a show, and we applied for the rights, and we had a hold. So when you apply through MTI, for example, you apply for the show, and they're like, you're approved. You have 30 days to send us your deposit.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We did that. And like 4 days later, an email from MTI came out that was like, amateur licensing for Kinky Boots is now available. So I was like, I'm just going to submit it because I'm the one who typically handles all of that type of stuff. So I just submitted it. I told Nate, I was like, look, I just did this. You know, who knows? Normally MTI comes back pretty quick. A week later, we get an email. Congratulations, here are the rights to the show. And I was like, it's a cool concept, but it's a daunting task.
Right.
So I sat on it for like 24 hours. Didn't tell anyone. Didn't call Nate. Because I was like, at this point in time, I was like, I kind of hold a tiny bit of power. Like, this could be a bad decision to say yes and to show him or whatever. So I was like, then I was like, yo, this came back. It said yes. And he was like, and he had the exact same response. He was like, huh. And I'm like, should we meet again at Gatto? And he was like, yep. Go over there and start kind of talking our way through it. And we're like, well, I mean, someone's going to do it. It might as well be us kind of thing. That was our thought.
Right.
So we were like, all right, so we did it. So we went to our director, Laura, who was already signed on for the other show.
Right.
And I was doing a show at the time. I was doing Joseph at the Palace. And she came to see the show. And in the lobby, I was like, hey, so how do you feel about not doing first show?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal it to all the listeners.
Exactly.
So I was like, and doing Kinky Boots instead. And she just kind of gave me this like, huh. Because she's a dancer by trade.
Right.
So she comes from a dance background, brilliant director, but she was our choreographer before she was a director for us. So the intention was that she would do it all. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So we were like, okay, here we go. But we had no idea. I mean, Westmoreland County is Westmoreland County. You know what I mean? So it's like, how are they going to respond to this?
To this.
Now, there are theater goers, which are fine, but the theater goers enjoy Rock of Ages. They enjoy Titanic. But are they going to enjoy, you know, drag queens and all this other kind of stuff? Because that's what they're going to see. They're not going to see the message.
Yeah.
They're going to see drag queens in sequence.
Yeah. And you know, it's one, I will say that just based on when I went to look for tickets, it doesn't seem like there's much of a problem. So that's pretty cool.
That's what I was going to get to. So, and the business side of it, you know, so I didn't get all the information to Billy at the Lamp in time to get it on sale, like for Thanksgiving. There's Black Friday sale. They do a lot of ticket sales.
Every day, that's cool.
But, you know, and so in December, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to get this over to him. And, you know, I got a job. I got a kid. You know, we all have stuff going on. So I was like, so get it to him. And then he's like, oh, my marketing goes off. We'll get it open on sale the first week of January. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I don't think this thing's going to sell, period. Let alone now we're doing it on like 3 or 4 weeks. So we went on sale the first week of January on that Friday. And on day one, the theater holds like 300 something seats.
Yeah.
I mean, we sold like over 400 tickets. We're only doing 5 performances.
Yeah.
And we sold over 300 tickets or 400 tickets the first day. And I was like, you can breathe a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just a little
it's
exhale.
It's a big budget. I mean, the costume budget. I mean, we have Jason Shavers, who's an equity actor. And, you know, there's a line item in the budget right there. Well worth it. He's absolutely brilliant. We love
I'm
him.
So excited.
Like, he's bringing the essence of the show to the show.
Yeah.
So, but these are the things that Nate and I, as little time producers, are like, oh boy, if this doesn't work, like,
right.
Sorry, kids, you don't get dinner for the next 2 weeks.
We got to come out. But you'll see a great show.
Right, exactly. You'll love it. And it'll be the last one you'll see. But
yeah,
you know, there was going into it, it was like, okay, does this sink us or what happens here?
And, yeah.
You know, things are trending in the right direction right now. So it's exciting.
You guys are almost sold out for the first Saturday, aren't you?
I talked to Billy. I was there. I dropped all of the boots. We rented a bunch of the costume pieces from Erie Playhouse. And I happened to be up there for work. And so I grabbed all the stuff and brought it back and dropped it over at the theater yesterday, as a matter of fact. And was talking to Billy there. And he was like, I think there's like 18 tickets left for that Saturday night.
Wow, that's awesome. So get your tickets, people, now.
Yeah.
Tell them Making Martini sent you. You won't get an incentive, but it'll make me feel good.
There you go. And then they're like, thanks. Who's this martini guy? Billy's going to be like, oh, people keep calling, talking about martinis. Do they get a free martini? Do I owe them drinks?
Yes. Yes, you do, Billy. Or at least
one. No, but you'll Caleb martinis when he shows up on Friday the 10th.
Yeah. No, the other thing that you said was, you know, the sort of message that's going to come through. And I obviously know that at the time that you guys chose this and applied for it and decided to do it, little did you know that there was going to be sort of the, and not to get obviously too political, because that's not really what I do, especially when I drink. Anyone that's a fan knows that I absolutely do. But, you know, there's that sort of attack on, you know, removing drag queen performances in public spaces from, right now, Florida, but, you know, things tend to trend. If it starts in Florida, it moves up.
Is it happening in Texas, too? Or did I misread something?
Or maybe, I mean, it is
seems
Texas.
Like they go hand in hand, but maybe it's Texas?
Yeah.
But you can't say gay in Florida.
Right.
I think it's the drag queens that are in Texas.
I think, yeah. You know what? If there's ever a problem, anyone has an issue with the LGBTQIA plus community, it's probably Florida or Texas. So,
yeah,
you know,
one in the same.
But, but I think that's going to be a whole different level, especially because I know, like, I personally know Dixie Sherwood, who's one of the angels. And I know that, you know, she's gotten the word out a lot in her shows that she does locally at, you know, Drag Brunch at 5801 and other shows that she does around town. And, you know, Jonathan Barker was in Rock of Ages. I don't know the other two, but I looked them up because I online stalk everybody. I have a problem. Okay. Everyone get over it.
It's research.
Yeah, exactly. But they're getting the word out. And I feel like there's going to be a different sort of level for the people that come that are coming to support like their drag queen friends, especially at this time. I think it's going to be, I that was one of the things that I knew I was coming to see it. Cause obviously I was coming to see it, but, this is sort of another thing that I'm very excited for because, you know, when stuff like this happens where people are like, you can't, you know, do drag story time or you can't do drag bingo at a nursing home or you can, you know what I mean? It's just like, go fuck yourself. Like, no one cares what you think about that. So exactly. I think that's going to be a whole new level of seeing the show because I've seen it. I saw the tour when it came here, but not with Billy Porter. I don't know why I missed that night with maybe he took a night off. And then I saw when CLO just did it too. And it's, okay, I mean, it's just like the most fun. It's just like, you know, pink bubblegum happy. But then you also get like the last 20 minutes is just like that, like punch to the stomach where you're like, oh my God. So I'm ready to cry.
There's going to be a message in there somewhere. And it is great to see that, you know, that was a thing. It's like, and Nate and I were very aware of, we need to be in touch with the drag community. We don't know if anyone's going to come out and audition for it or what, but we need to know because, you know, there's no hiding the fact that Nate and I are two straight white men producing kinky boots. Like, we get it. We get it. However, we wanted to make sure that we had all of the I's dotted and all the T's crossed because like it's important to be authentic, that we want the show to have the authenticity that it needs.
Right.
You know, and so we want to have a better understanding. We want to be more aware. And, you know, there was a great thing when the first rehearsal, you know, we sat down and went through and, you know, talked to every single person and, okay, let's talk about pronouns and let's talk about all this stuff because we want to be respectful and we want to do everything the right way.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was Laura kind of leading from the front, you know, as she does. And it was very important. It was very impactful. It was getting everyone up and walking, you know, not a mile, but walking steps in their shoes and letting the angels walk a line and everyone, no matter who you are, what role you play in the show or in life, walk in their shoes. So whatever that angel in front of you, however they walk with whatever, you know, flair or anything, do
that's
that.
Amazing. Yeah.
And it was a really cool moment. And it was from the producers to the, you know, the people who played the little kids in the show.
Yeah.
To the costume designer, we were all there doing it. And it's like, you know, we're all here for the same reasons, but we all want to be respectful and we all appreciate everyone for who they are. And that's what the show is about, of course, appreciating everyone for who they are and acknowledging that.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think that, like, I know the CLO just did it. I didn't see it, but I feel like there's a little bit of a different vibe that comes out of our show for the drag community because it's a little bit more accessible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, smaller venue. We know some of these people versus CLOs. Yeah. huge, huge entity.
It was huge. It was at the Benedum. It was like, right. You know, like, I was up in like,
I feel mezzanine. Like ours is going to be more like a Rocky Horror where like people are coming in drag. I don't know. Again, I didn't see the CLOs. I don't know if people came in drag that. Or do they just come to see the show?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like the drag community in Pittsburgh that's going to support this show is going to come in their best.
Yes.
And that's what we hope. And that's what we do. Want.
And please make it Friday the 10th.
Do it.
I'll see you at Brandy's next door after.
That's it. And I think that that's going to give a little bit more of a, not to mention the venue itself is obviously a little bit more intimate. I think it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of feelings that are happening. And
I anticipate
a lot of hooting and hollering, screaming. I mean, it's going to be real. I get goosebumps kind of thinking about the vibe that's going to be in that room. Those five nights. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
That's going to be great. And we've got Jason Shavers as Lola, Gabe DeRose as Charlie, Claire Ivy Stoller, who was my love interest in Rock of Ages, as Lauren, Josh Reardon as Don. I'm so excited. I didn't know until I saw the post on Facebook that Josh was Don. I was so excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like an all-star cast. It really is. I'm super excited. Tickets are available at www.lamptheater.org.
Yeah.
No, the, don't put a the in there because you won't get there. And get them while you can, because I have a strong feeling that the first weekend's going to happen and then you guys are sold out. You know what I mean?
There's not going to be much left. I mean, from where we are right now and my understanding, and not even going into this coming week where obviously this airs on Monday, but you know, the first weekend, the tickets are slim pickings. And actually, I did look at the seating chart, and of those, you know, whatever it was, 20 tickets or so that were available, like 8 of them were single seats.
Yeah.
So by that, you might be sitting next to a drag queen.
You never know. And that might be what you want.
But I think the second weekend, you know, I think word of mouth is going to spread, and not even word of mouth. I mean, I think that people are going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to eat it up. We saw that with Rock of Ages. It's that type of, you know, vibe. You're having that much fun in the room. And then this one, you know, not to disrespect Rock of Ages, this one carries a little bit more of a message.
Yeah, for sure.
Still going to be equally as good a time.
Right.
Don't stop believing is a great message. Don't get me wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. But it really is the very end of the show. And I will say from experience of being in the Lamp Theater that there really is not a bad seat. I mean, it is a big theater, but it's an intimate space and you're going to get a good view from wherever you're sitting. So, but buy your ticket now because you don't want to not have the chance.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Rob, do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap it up here? Anything else you can think of?
I think that's, I mean, I said a lot of words today. I drank a bunch of scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see you.
Of course. And I'll get to see you in what, 10 days, 20, 12 days?
I don't know. I'll be there for that one, which will be fun. But no, I mean, we're really excited about it. We really appreciate the way that, you know, the community as a whole has embraced the company.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like we're finally now, interestingly enough, after 10 years, kind of getting into our groove.
Yeah.
So, going back to that question of, you know, what advice do you have to someone?
Right.
Be prepared to grind it out for 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're excited about the future. We're excited about collaborations with other companies that have been happening recently.
Awesome.
You know, it's been good and we're excited about the future, but this is a big one and we'd love to see everybody in the theater.
Yeah. If you, like I said, we've just talked about the tickets, which was www.lamptheater.org. If you want to follow Splitstage, you can go to their website, which is www.splitstage.com. You follow them on Instagram, which is at Splitstage Productions. Follow them on Facebook, which is facebook.com/splitstage. Do you guys have Twitter? I don't know anyone that has Twitter anymore, really.
What's a Twitter?
I don't know. Where you have to really figure out what you want to say in a short amount of time.
I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. But all of the links will be plugged in these episode notes. And that is really all we've got going on here. If you are a fan of Making a Martini, please like and share with everyone you know. Play the episodes. I don't care if you play them with the volume down. Just put, you know, open up your podcast listening app and press go. And if you really want to just be a huge fan, you can go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and even better, a review, because that is how people see me more. So if you start doing it, then I don't have to talk about it. And that's what everything's really about. If you want to donate to the show, there is a link in this episode note for the www.buymeacoffee. You all know that you're not going to be buying me a coffee. It's going to be a martini somewhere, but the money comes to me. And there's also our Instacart affiliate link, which if you sign up with that link, you get a free delivery on your first order over $30. And as someone who uses Instacart all the time, because I'm a lazy piece of shit and don't like going to the grocery store because I can't deal with old people or shopping carts, that's what you need to do. And I think that's it. Rob, thank you so much. Glad you got to sit through that. It's the spiel that
I agree. I don't like to go to the grocery store either.
It's awful.
I'm with you on that one.
It's awful. Oh, God. Old people.
It's really although I'm it becoming is. One, but that's why I try not to go, because I don't want to acknowledge it.
No, I usually go like after a martini. And that usually winds up actually working against me, but hey, you know, I have a good time.
And my wallet, yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. Rob, thank you again. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon. And make sure to get your tickets for Kinky Boots. This has been Making Martini Up Dry and Straight to the Point. Cheers. I'm going to stop recording. Oh, my God.